part of the shepherd lesson, I did want to look at one thing in the wilderness that will maybe surprise you a bit. Believe it or not, this is called wilderness, Midbar, but it's also called green pastures. Now, when you take a Westerner here the first time and you look at this, you find people say, well, I don't know that I can go there. Because the Psalm 23, the Lord leads me into green pastures, has been pictured as belly deep alfalfa. Well, you haven't seen any belly deep alfalfa. And from biblical time to today, it's rare to see a flock in the farm country. There isn't a lot of farm country in this culture. And so farmers kept the shepherds out as much as they could. Maybe they would come in a little bit after the harvest to glean what was left, but you don't want sheep where you can farm. This is the land of the shepherd. Right on the hillside across from us, you can see those grazing trails cut there by sheep maybe as long ago as Abraham's time. They're spaced so that an animal on one path and an animal on another can reach right to the middle between them. That determines the distance, so you can graze an entire hillside. And the shepherds lead their sheep across that hillside slowly, grazing what's there. Now, you look at it from here and you say, what's there? In fact, I remember my first impression. I woke up one morning, I was sleeping out in the wilderness, and I remember waking up watching a flock of sheep on a hillside like this, and my feeling was, what are those rock-eating sheep? I mean, what do they eat? How can you call this green pastures? Well, the answer is, there's a small amount of moisture present here. They get a little bit of rain every year. Not much, but a little. Second, there is humidity in the air, especially in the evening breeze, like right now, you can feel it. Coming from the west off the Mediterranean, there's moisture in the air. That moisture, combination of the rain and the humidity, condenses or drips along the edge of these rocks here. And if you notice, right around the rocks, almost always next to the rocks, you get little tufts of green. Get one a moment. That's what we refer to as the green pastures. So the shepherd looks for a hillside. That's exactly what she was doing. Look at that flock across from us there. Just stunning. Those two shepherd girls have found a hillside that either was exposed to the wind or had that small amount of rain. And they move that flock across the hillside, and it's one mouthful here, walk a step or two, another mouthful, another mouthful, another mouthful. Now that changes the green pasture image a little bit, besides the picture changing radically. Green pastures are not everything you need for the rest of your life. If you make that belly deep alfalfa, then what God is saying, if you follow me, I'm gonna plunk you down and you'll never have to move an inch the rest of your life. Just reach out and grab it. Tell me that your life with God has been like that. Worry, said one rabbi, is dealing with tomorrow's problems on today's pasture. In the desert, you learn the shepherd will get you what you need for right now. 10 minutes from now, you trust the shepherd. Just enough.
That was quite an awakening for me the first time I saw that, having not been to the Holy Land myself. Actually getting to see, because I had that image in my mind, and I don't know if any of you did as well, of that belly deep alfalfa he was talking about. What a change that was for me to really think and understand what it is for us to cultivate that reliance on God, to be able to trust in him. But also it gave me another thought that I'd like to submit to you today. That our lives, just as God delivers us through his word and his Holy Spirit, those moments of green pasture, that sufficiency for the moment we are in, so he can build up in us green pastures to be that in another person through his Holy Spirit and his work in us. And it's not something that comes necessarily easily or naturally all the time, but it comes from that relationship with Christ, that relationship with the Heavenly Father, but ultimately a trust in Him that He will provide, a trust in Him to be our shepherd. And in this, our last sermon of the Resurrected Life series, where we began with talking about God making us acceptable because it was His good pleasure to do so, and we talked about using our bodies as active worship. We talked about spiritual gifts and serving one another in the church, and we talked about how crucial it is that we love one another and how much more important it is that we love God. And from that loving of God and learning who He is and walking with Him, we will begin to love others. I'd like to take this final week and talk about a trusting mindset. And to come to that, I went to the 23rd Psalm, is where this came out of, where David is singing. And in this, you'll notice a few themes of shepherding, which is, of course, something David was familiar with, but also something that in the ancient Near East world, kings were often called the shepherds of their people. So how fitting is it then that God, the King of Kings, would be called the Great Shepherd? That He is our shepherd, the one who leads us and guides us. You'll also notice about halfway through, David goes from singing a song about God to talking to God, from things about God to talking to God about their very relationship and about what it is to walk with God just because He delights in the Lord. So let's go ahead and let's take a look at the 23rd Psalm. Starting with verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a wonderful word that is, that David knows, and that I hope some of you have experienced, I hope all of you have experienced and are experiencing more and more, that relationship with God where He is your shepherd. And a few things to note from this. Again, that green pastures that David recognized and would have known all too well what green pastures really looked like. And what we see in the life of David as he goes on, and so many others in the Bible, and what we see, to echo what was said in that video, what we see in our own lives of moment by moment, God's provision, God coming alongside us and saying, yes, times may be lean, but I will provide for your needs through my Holy Spirit, through those I call my children. And I've seen that in my own life through some difficult times. Most of you know that my wife has multiple sclerosis and was diagnosed a couple years ago. And that has meant that there have been some moments where we look and we wonder, where is the pasture? And every step along the way, I remember praying for healing for Alyssa. Praying, God, I saw Jesus heal blind men. I saw Jesus heal lame people. I saw you do wonderful, miraculous things. You raised the dead. Would you please heal my wife of her multiple sclerosis? And we prayed in all faith. And God said, no, I won't. The lesions are still going to be there. The placking is still going to be present in her spine. And it was a hard moment to wonder, because it led me to think naturally, but what is going to happen is someday she's going to get sick. Someday she's going to have symptoms. Someday she's going to die. And God said to me, I remember in prayer, God said to me, one, David, aren't you going to die one day too? And do you have any idea when it's going to happen to you? No. Okay. Second, is she really going to die? Because have I not done a greater work in her soul than in her body? Your wife has been healed. In the kingdom of God in eternity, she is healed and well. She'll receive a new body, and regardless of what happens in this life, I've worked in her soul a miracle of life that she brings to you and your family. And in that moment, I found that pasture that I needed, that peace from God, to accept what was happening, to be able to sustain me to move on to the next thing. And it's a good thing I did, because we had two small children, and shortly after that, we added a third small child to our house. If I had still been wrestling and struggling and arguing and fighting with God, there's no way I could have been effective as a father. And there are days that I still question, how effective am I really? If you've spent a moment in my house or with a six-year-old of any parentage, you understand. You know how small children are. You look at them, they just do their own thing, and you go, really, who is raising you? Where are your parents? Meanwhile, that's you, you're their parent. There's no one else to blame. But God will give us what we need if we will trust Him and take Him at His word. And David knew that, I know that, and I pray that all of you know that, and come to, if you don't know that today, come quickly to that realization, because it opens up so much in your life and brings so much peace that David talks about. Lying down in these green pastures, to be still in the moments where you receive that sustenance, to be led beside quiet waters. To have peace is the imagery here. To be guided in paths of righteousness for God's name's sake, that we might be a blessing to others. Even if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, through the hard times, God walks with us. David says here, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The shepherd's rod was symbolic of several things. One, of course, leadership, guidance, rescuing a sheep in trouble. The crook could reach down, if a sheep had fallen into a hole, could reach down and lift that sheep back up to safety, while the shepherd could keep an eye on the rest of the flock and not expose himself or herself to further danger. But the staff also served another purpose. If a wild animal came to attack the flock, they didn't have firearms, and the bow wasn't really a thing back then. So they used what they had. If a bear came to try and snatch one of your sheep, you hit it. You hit it in the head as hard as you could with your shepherd's crook, with your staff. It symbolizes protection for the herd. It also can be used if the herd is getting out of alignment with one another and wandering away from the path they should be walking. The shepherd's crook can be used to tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, back in line. The shepherd knows his sheep by name and can talk to them. And the crook, that staff, also represents discipline. The discipline of the Lord that brings ultimate peace in our hearts and maturity in our characters. And so David is saying, Lord, your protection and also your discipline comfort me and guide me. And I want to now share a few thoughts. There's some promises from God for us that are conditional, that if we will trust God, there are things that he will guarantee we will always have, that we will never be in want for, as well as some things that God says he wants to do. We'll start with taking a look with verse 1. Can I get the slides up? I apologize for the formatting today. That's entirely my fault. That has nothing to do with the people in the sound booth. I made these slides. Sorry, guys. But there are some promises here that I want to share with you that you can write down in the insert of the bulletin today. That if we trust in the Lord, if I trust in the Great Shepherd, I will never be in want for complete satisfaction. That doesn't mean we will have everything that we desire. Like, I want a new motorcycle. God is not going to just deliver me a new motorcycle just because I tell him I want one, especially because Alyssa tells God all the time, Lord, don't let David get a motorcycle. He just hurt himself. Don't do it. He's right not to, by the way. I probably shouldn't have a motorcycle. I'm good with a sedan. But it's that satisfaction, that spiritual satisfaction, that green pastures, that enough to fulfill us, truly fill us and give us sustenance to keep moving and keep walking in faith with him. Is that complete satisfaction if we trust in the shepherd, that the things that are happening, that when we cry out, we are heard, when we receive an answer, that is an answer. It's okay to go back and ask again, by the way, but to trust in him and continue to move forward and not get hung up on those things that would keep us looking back in life, but to trust that the Lord has something ahead of us that we can look forward to, we will find complete satisfaction and we will never go without it if we trust and seek the Lord. If we trust the Great Shepherd, we will never be in want for guidance. Jesus promised us when he was here, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you if you pray and ask God for direction of how to guide your steps, what you should be doing. He will tell you. If you are searching the scriptures and saying, Lord, how should I act? Who should I be? Trust me, you will find answers. They might not always align with how you initially thought you should do it, but they're there, and they are the right ones. If we trust in the Lord, we will never be in want for guidance. If we trust in the Great Shepherd, we will never be in want for renewal. His Holy Spirit has washed away all of our past sins. And if we ever sin again, he has promised us, I will renew you every single day. New mercies, new blessings, if you would but trust in me. If we trust in the Great Shepherd, we will know those quiet waters and we will know renewal. If we trust in the Great Shepherd, we will never be in want for instruction in righteousness. Our God has called us to be holy, to be perfect, as he is holy, as he is perfect. He has not left us without means to do that. He has not left us without his Holy Spirit, him himself, the essence of God that interacts with us, with our human spirit, with who we are in our very core of our beings. God has given us as Christians all of himself, the core of his being. To instruct us, he has also given us scriptures. He has also given us pastors and brothers and sisters in Christ and parents and sometimes children. I think of times that my son Zachary has told me, "Dad, that was kind of rude." And I look at him and I go, "You're not wrong." Somebody taught you well. It must have been your mother. And it's taking that correction, that discipline, that instruction in righteousness that will lead us to that holiness, that perfection of God that he is building up inside each and every one of his disciples. If we trust in the great shepherd, we will never be in want for the divine presence. To me, this is one of the greatest promises there is, that there is an everlasting, eternal God who is powerful enough to create the cosmos and time itself, and yet is unbound to it, but he wants to spend time with you and with me. That he walked this earth and knew our struggles and knew our pain and made friends. Think of Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, one of Jesus' best and closest friends, who he loved dearly. And he calls us his friends. Friends spend time with one another. Friends just enjoy being around one another, even if you're not doing anything, even if you're not really talking. As hard as it is to believe that your pastor spends time not talking, there are times that I am just quiet with my wife, my best friend, and those are precious moments just being together. Have you been quiet with the Spirit and just sat there together thinking of the Lord, trusting that he is with you? You will never be in want for the divine presence. If you trust the great shepherd, if you trust the Lord, he will be with you and he will make himself known to you. And finally, the promise, the conditional promise there, if I trust the great shepherd, I will never be in want for comfort in sorrow. Again, Jesus walked with us. Jesus lost friends. Jesus himself went to the grave. He knows what it is to experience human sorrow, to experience everything we go through. And as our loving Heavenly Father, he watches us and has sent his Holy Spirit to be our comforter. If you are experiencing sorrow, it can seem like that valley of the shadow of death, those times that are the most hard, when somebody's been diagnosed with an illness, when you've experienced a loss, when you yourself feel like you're losing and it hurts and it's hard, you will not be without comfort if you turn to the great shepherd and cry out, "Lord, I'm hurting right now." He will hear and he will answer with comfort. And there are things, as David talks about, that God wants to do for us, that he does for David, and that he wants to do for each and every one of us as his sheep, as his flock. God wants to bring us peace in the face of trouble. We see this, David says, "You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies." When there are people who are trying to do me wrong, when there are situations that seem to be conspiring against me, when the whole world just seems to be working against me, God says, "You know what? I am preparing a blessing for you. And I am preparing sustenance for you, and you can relax." This prepare a table before me is more than just, here's dinner, come eat. But it's something kings would do to honor another king or somebody in their kingdom and show them and elevate them, hey, this person matters to me. And what God is saying in the face of those things that are going sideways, hold on, I'm going to elevate you if you are trusting in me. And I'm going to bring you peace in the face of this trouble. I will let no one bring you harm. David talks about anointing God, anointing his head with oil. In the Old Testament, oil symbolizes joy, the joy of the Spirit coming onto his people, his chosen. If it said the oil flowed down until it filled his beard, flowed down until it filled his hair, that was symbolic of such a great joy that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they had received God's great pleasure. And that's what God is saying he wants to do to us. That's what David is saying. Listen, you anoint my head with oil. And this is something God does for every one of us, every one of his children. If we will trust in him, he will bring us that overflowing joy, that anointment of our head with oil, that ultimate satisfaction that says, yes, I am at peace, and this is good. Continuing on, God wants to provide for our every need. There is nothing that is coming our way that God does not see is coming our way. There is nothing that has happened in our lives that God has not seen happen and, yes, allowed to come to pass. And it is God's great desire to provide for your every need. It may not always look the way we want. It may not always be what we expect. As I said, I prayed, Lord, Lord, heal my wife. And the Lord said, no, not now. I have done a greater healing miracle already. And I have more work for you both to do. But he did provide for our needs. He gave us joy in our spirits. He gave us the ability to obey him and experience the joy of being your pastor. To come to know you all and to be here. God has provided for every need. But he doesn't just do it through his Spirit. He has done that through his congregation ministering to us as well. And so I want to thank you and also use this as a way to say, this is what I'm talking about. As we trust in the Lord, we can come to minister more and more to one another and more to this broken world that needs Jesus. I had a need. Alyssa was having a flare-up with her MS. We had to go and leave. And so people stayed, tore out carpets, and painted in our home for us. I'm told that there is some food that has been purchased for our family by this congregation. God gives us more than we deserve in such wonderful ways. And provides for our every need. Even the ones we don't know that are coming, he is at work if we will trust and follow him. The last 2 points. God wants to give me abundant life in his presence. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Abundance in him, in his Holy Spirit, in fullness of grace and peace and joy and happiness. And surely God wants to give us eternal life in his presence, here on this earth and forever in heaven. Can I get an amen? What good news it is that God wants to bring us peace and joy, fulfillment, instruction in righteousness. He wants to fulfill in us every command that he has for us. All he asks is that we would trust him. And sometimes that trusting him, we talked about a scripture at prayer meeting this Wednesday night where Joshua was about to go into the promised land. He had taken over from Moses, who was about to die and was not allowed by God to enter into the promised land due to Israel's disobedience. And Israel had been afraid to enter into the promised land. Because sometimes we're just afraid of what's around the corner. Sometimes we try and deal with tomorrow's problems on today's pasture, right? So my challenge for you this week, which is also a challenge for myself, each day, I would like for you to write out at least one way that God has been trustworthy to you. Use as many details as you'd like. Write it however you like in whatever voice you have, whether it's just a simple, God did this, and it's just a fact, a situation. If you write out a full story, that's awesome. But each day, at least one, and you don't have to stop at one. If you feel like continuing on, please continue chronicling as long as you'd like. Feel freedom there, but write it down and then keep it in a place, a book, a notebook, a shelf, somewhere, that you can look back at it when times are tough and remember the ways the shepherd has been faithful and trustworthy to you, that you can be trustworthy that he will provide again, that he will lead you once more. And in that, find rest. Not because of only what God has done, but because of the promise of what God is doing and will do. And know peace. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being our great shepherd. And thank you for calling us to your flock. Thank you for new life. Thank you for the joy that comes from you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to remember your faithfulness. It's easy to forget this world has cares. This world has hardship. Sometimes it's strong, but God, you are stronger. You are the great shepherd. There is none like you. No one is your rival. Help us to trust and rest in you. Pour your spirit out upon us this week as we go. Bring reminders to us of you. Bring your correction and your discipline when we need it. Bring your comfort the way that only you can when we need it, Lord. And please work in advance, work ahead of us. Call out pitfalls and dangers to us, but also work to meet our needs before we see them the way that only you can. We trust that you are in control. We love you. Individually and corporately together as one flock, we love you. Lord, I pray that you would knit us together more and more tightly. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for worshiping here and for allowing me to be a part of your lives. It is truly my great pleasure. And now let me pray a blessing over you, and we will dismiss. May the great shepherd keep watch over you. Keep your feet from striking a stone and keep you from stumbling. May he lead you down paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And may you trust in him fully. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you.